everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Wednesday, October 25th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I have with me my regular Wednesday co-host, Mr. David Scorpio. Good morning, David.
Hello, Richard. Happy to be here and looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, yes, indeed, as am I. I thought I heard that there were already some strikes on Gaza from the IDF, but I'm getting this update today. Israel delays Gaza invasion again as U.S. scrambles to put missile defenses in place. Both U.S. and Israel officials have told the Wall Street Journal in a breaking major development that Israel has decided to further stall its planned ground invasion of Gaza at the request of Washington. Though airstrikes have been ramped up, resulting in the Palestinian death toll soaring past 6,500, it has become clear in the last several days that Israel has been waiting in terms of a ground assault. This also, as four hostages have been freed due to negotiations involving Qatari mediation with Hamas. The Wall Street Journal frames this further delay, however, as related to putting additional air defense from the U.S. in place. We've been hearing from Iran, especially, claims that they'll get involved if the U.S. gets more involved or involved if they don't see it as that already. But it doesn't seem like they're willing to do anything if it's just Israel doing things to the Palestinians, David. So I don't know. Well, they're cowards, the IDF. Let's just make that clear right off the start. Surely you agree. They've never really been, they're claiming they're not what they once were, some of their generals. They never were all that. We're not talking about Navy SEAL of Green Beret quality that they ever had.
Yeah, the myth that Israel has this invincible army is just that. It's a myth. It's a fantasy. It's a hoax. I don't think anything's going to happen from Iran. I think that's just a bunch of talk. They'd love to have America come in and do the dirty work here and get our boys killed, quite frankly. I think what they're doing here, they're just waiting until they destroy enough of the buildings so they can just go in there with tractors and, scoop up the rubble and put it into piles. And because I think the objective here is simply to take the land. Even the mainstream media has admitted that the Gazans may not be able to go back to their homes after the war is over. So they're already planting the seeds in people's minds that, well, we just may have to take the land. Sorry about that. So I don't believe any of the story we're being told here about Iran getting involved if this happens and that happens. I just don't. And the idea that we're going to have a regional conflict from this, I don't think so. And I don't see, how would an invasion even go? There's no army to fight. You've got a ragtag bunch of snipers will probably pick some of the troops off as they go in. They'll probably end up killing so many civilians. It's just going to look really, really bad. So I'm doubtful that there's going to be a large scale invasion as they're claiming. That's why they keep delaying it. We'll see though.
And not even superficially, you don't think Iran will step in to any extent? I don't see a major conflict because if that happens, how could you just suddenly stop once it would start? And then, they have backing, we're told, from Russia, who has backing from China. And they're not going to have a World War III scenario. It doesn't benefit the elites. The best thing for the elites is always really has been to work with each other, among respective countries. These private central bankers, they care more about people in their economic class the world over than anyone else. So it just wouldn't, just to destroy mutual infrastructure and to destroy the economic world You know, I don't think it's worth their while in practical terms, quite frankly.
Yeah, I just don't see how this expands where they're claiming. And we're supposed to be focused on Israel. It's like, Israel's the most important country in the world. Well, you know, what's happening in Sumatra right now? That's about the same size. You know, what's happening in Madagascar? Actually, I'd like to know more about Madagascar. I like the idea of Madagascar, the old plan there. But, you know, really, the idea that Israel is this such an important country, it's not. It's the size of Rhode Island. And really, we shouldn't be focusing on the way it is. And we shouldn't be giving the Israelis any more money so they can steal the rest of the land. That's really all that's going on here. They want all the land, and they want to get rid of the Palestinians one way or another, either kill them or get them to flee the country and let them go into God knows where. And, you know, this thing is just absolutely disgusting. I don't see how any American is supporting this. It's pretty transparent what's going on. They have no idea, intention of trying to save civilians because they're bombing apartment buildings. I think yesterday they bombed like 400 different locations in Gaza in just one day.
Well, I was reading from Chris Black yesterday, I believe, with Stephen, and he points out how, I mean, there's already a lot of destruction to what once was Syria, Iran, mentioning how corrupt Egypt is. But I mean, Iran certainly is a much bigger, much stronger, much more independent nation than any of these neighbors, for sure. I mean, when we think, though, of, you know, going back to the whistleblowing of General Wesley Clark, 7 countries in 5 years, Iran, of course, is the biggest one on there. And, as far as, I mean, you think that currently they still want regime change in the near future?
Well, the problem with Iran, more than its army, is the terrain. It's a mountainous country. Trying to go in there with troops would be very difficult. It's not like Iraq where you just roll in with tanks and just take the country over. It wouldn't be like that in Iran. But as to how powerful their army really is, that's unknown, quite frankly. I mean, if you recall, Iraq had a 1,000,000-man army. It was going to be this big, difficult thing to conquer, and it pretty much just folded overnight. So I think that's an unknown, the true status of Iran's army.
I mean, if there were really something that escalated accidentally because of middlemen making the wrong decisions, out of control, and whatever sort of mutual destruction seemed imminent. I mean, you would have to think that if Iran somehow accidentally got involved in something major, that Russia and China would sell them out at the last second, you know, just to save world infrastructure, economies, diplomacy. I mean, the idea that, you know, anything could start a domino effect to Armageddon. And you can't really recover from that. I mean, you know, when we talk, I know there's a lot of debate about the whole nuclear thing, and that's kind of a whole other topic. But I think it's just about keeping us afraid, you know. And I mean, everyone is talking about how this is increasing the threat of Hamas, and in general, Iranian-backed attacks on U.S. soil. And yet the borders are wide open. The borders are wide open. But the fear, you know, that's all they need is the fear level to get away with more. You know, that's always been the plan. Trump is warning the U.S. is more vulnerable from inside terror attacks than ever, reported at the Summit News. So, I mean, you know, he's helping the fear rhetoric for sure.
Oh, yeah, because we have Iranian operatives walking over the border here ready to attack. I think this is more fantasy. And I just don't think what's going on here is going to trigger a larger conflict. I think it's all about the grift, too, to keep the magic shekels flowing into Israel. We need your help. We might be invaded. You know, really, there. I'm not buying any of it. And isn't it interesting how the border into Egypt is just airtight? Nobody can even cross the border. Nobody can climb over the fence. They've only allowed a handful of aid trucks through the border, while 2 million people are basically without water, food, and electricity. Just interesting how that border is just airtight. And, of course, Israel won't let any aid go through their borders. It's interesting how borders can be very wide open and porous or very closed, depending on what the agenda is at the moment.
Yes, but do you think it's possible that there would be some sort of engineered incident staged on U.S. soil, possibly for, you know, just Patriot Act 2.0 sort of response, you know, just more draconian police state sort of motives?
Well, I think that's possible, certainly. I think the big false flag is going to be blamed on white supremacists and anti-Semites. I think that's coming, but for the first time, this is just absurd. I'm hearing the MSM, the mainstream media, link white supremacists, anti-Semites, and Islamic extremists into one group, as though somehow they're coordinating their efforts or they're aligned somehow. Like, this paranoia is really incredible. That's what they're trying to actually float now, that somehow these groups are aligned in some meaningful way other than just liking Jewish power. Somehow that aligns these different groups together, and there'll be some kind of coordinated attack between these three. So they're already trying to float this idea, which is just completely insane, quite frankly.
And yet I think that would do harm to the image they want of, you know, multicultural strength, you know, as Biden puts the de-whitening of the nation. You know, our that's our strength, you know, not a weakness.
Yeah.
The de-whitening. But seriously, I mean, it is a long-term goal for them to keep in the minds of the normies, you know, I mean, even the conservatives, that, you know, that's a positive thing. And hey, we don't want to seem racist to the world. And so, you know, it's always a good thing to accept all this. So, I mean, to have any sort of a false flag engineered incident related to Muslims or Arabs or brown and or black people in general would be very harmful. So even to link, the whole white supremacy target with that, I don't know how they'd want it actually for an incident to be linked. You'd think that they'd want to isolate white supremacist attack, false flag, and say, look, see, shame on you for not wanting brown and black people in the open borders. It's the white people that we need to crack down on harder, right?
Well, yeah, I think that's where the I think a false flag is coming in that department, where it's going to be blamed on white supremacism and anti-Semites, something along those lines. I think that's coming within the next year or so.
And I mean,
you know, they're going to have a big problem on their hands with this upcoming election.
Well, I mean, it's as if it wasn't obvious enough. It's even more obvious that even people who are against Trump ideology from their conditioning don't like Biden due to things such as the economy and his complete incompetence. And I mean, yeah, even the people on his side would want someone other than him. Regardless, I don't know. Is it going to be far more obvious that the election will be stolen this time than last time? Because I can't see how it won't be stolen.
It's going to have to be. I haven't met a single person that likes Biden here in California. I mean, I was just talking to a Mexican lady yesterday. She can't stand him. Mexicans, I think, see Biden as weak and ineffective, and they don't like the overall. I don't think Mexicans like this pushing of the LGBTQ WTF stuff. They're going to have a big problem because nobody likes Biden, really. Even liberals don't like him. So I don't know how they're going to pull off another landslide victory from Biden, but I think the Republicans are being set up because Trump is facing a lot of problems, and they're making sure that Trump is the only option in terms of a viable candidate right now. And I think they're being set up for that being taken away one way or another as the number of people start to flip against him and all these various lawsuits and legal trouble he's having. I think the Republican Party might commit Harry Caray and actually prevent him from being the nominee. And if that happens, the Republican Party is over. It's finished. It's done. You won't have a viable Republican Party for the next 20 years, which would fit right into the plan of America becoming essentially a uniparty state, at least on a national level.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, as much as we already see Trump as being a false hope, there really is no populist candidate I could see in the future who is for any positive ideals, any positive values, rather, you know, that we in these circles recognize. That's why, yeah, as a symbol, you know, a lot of people still want to support him because it represents dying Western culture, white America. You know, I mean, you know, it's kind of the last stand, you know. I mean, these elections where, you know, we're just decimated through, well, controlled media combined with voter fraud.
Yeah, I think they're facing some serious, serious problems here because it's going to be hard to pull off the idea that Biden wins this election. And then you're going to have, you know, half the country who support Trump for whatever reason, good, bad, right or wrong. They're going to see, you know, if he's removed as a candidate, they're going to see the election is fixed, you know, interference, which certainly would be. And if somehow Trump is allowed to be the candidate and loses, they're going to think the same thing because there's absolutely no momentum at all for Joe Biden, even in liberal circles.
And it seems like it's too late and too lacking any compelling personalities to even try to have an alternative for the Democrats to Biden. I mean, I heard on John Moore this morning that someone's out there floating the idea of having a Kamala Harris and Big Mike Obama ticket together. And that wouldn't quite be a two-lady ticket, though, would it?
Not quite. Not as we know it. Something going on down there with Big Mike, as many of you may have seen in some of these various videos where Big Mike is dancing or walking in the wrong way.
Neither of those could be a strong personality for the actual presidential candidate. You know, I mean.
Well, no, and I'll tell you, the years have not been kind to Big Mike. Big Mike's not looking good. Big Mike has lost a lot of weight, not in a good way. Looking like an AIDS victim or something. So I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't remember the exact date, but we're approaching the date by which very soon a candidate would have to declare their candidacy and still be able to get on all of the ballots across the country. That date is approaching very, very soon. So it looks like Groper Joe or an actor playing Groper Joe is going to be the nominee. And, you know, I've seen some strange appearances here of Groper Joe where he doesn't look the same. I'm sure many out there saw the, you know, the butt chin, this strange protruding chin.
Hello.
Yeah, I think we have the
world going
from
on
beautiful
there.
Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung K, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Wednesday co-host, David Scorpio. And yeah, you know, usually I don't pay too much attention to the doubles thing out there, because I figure, you know, does it matter that much, you know, if they have doubles for some things, or if it's not even the same person it was, because they're all puppets anyway. You know, I don't believe they all make their own decisions. They're all given orders from above. But certainly with his progressing senility, frankly, due to age, you know, I mean, it's clear that they really couldn't last another 4 years, and you can't even have them debate or anything as it is. It's very curious how it'll develop there. I mean, but yeah, Clinton, you know, Hillary Clinton, I don't know. She's maybe still hated more than him, where they couldn't just pull her out of nowhere either, David.
No, and as I was saying, they're running out of time. It's either, you know, the end of this month or the beginning of November, where basically there won't be enough time to get a candidate on all the ballots across the country. So it looks like Joe Biden, or an actor playing Joe Biden, is going to be the nominee, and chances are he won't make it through his second term alive or in you know, cognitive shape. So that makes Kamala Harris the president, and then she would in turn appoint a vice president. You know, I think it's a very likely scenario heading our way, and of course she's married to a Jew. She might be Jewish herself. And but you know, I don't think you'd see really any real change in the policy, because it's not like Joe Biden is actually setting the policy here. He's just the dawdling old man that shuffles around and does what he's told and collects money and makes business deals for his son.
I could only imagine who Kamala Harris might appoint as her vice president. You know, would we have maybe Whoopi Goldberg or how about Lori Lightfoot? You know, get Beetlejuice in there.
Yeah, or Gavin Newsom, I think, is actually a very viable option there. He's waiting in the wings as probably the most charismatic Democrat guy out there right now, despite the fact that he's a grease bag and just a total, looks like a used car salesman or something. He is telegenic, and he's been following the right agendas, you know, with climate change and all these other things. So he knows where his bread is buttered. He knows the right way to play the game.
But we need to empower more black women, David, you know, and Kamala, she hardly qualifies. What I mean, her ancestors were Jamaican slave owners, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And there might be some Jew blood in there too. So she's not at all what she passes herself off as.
And so, I mean, you know what, but war, though, to distract from the economy, you know, I mean, in the past, the big wars have occurred when we've had particularly hard economic times. I mean, we're hearing this time around, this is as bad as a combination of factors of the Great Depression, 1929, and the 70s, kind of worse than both combined, they're saying, with all factors. And I mean, it's just amazing how, you know, wages are not going up and haven't been for the longest time, along with the devaluation of the dollar, this fiat currency, the cost of living, cost of everything. And it, I mean, it's just ridiculous how the bubble of property markets, you know, is so reluctant to become more realistic. So, I mean, you know, if we have, I mean, you know, there certainly is a, what do they call it, vulture capitalism. You know, I mean, it's interesting because, yeah, communist and predatory capitalist tactics are used simultaneously in the destruction of America here.
Well, yeah, yeah. And I think we're sitting on about 20 to 25% inflation right now, and it's only going to get worse. And, yeah, the real estate market's not going to decline, simply because you've got BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, and other similar firms buying up real estate by the thousands, by the bundles, and just sitting on it or turning it into a rental. So the market's being artificially kept high, and that's not going to change. I've been saying that since the beginning. It should have already shifted greatly, given the fact that we're at like over 7% for a loan, for a house loan. That's if your credit's good. It's higher if it's not. So that should have changed the market, and it hasn't. So it should be obvious we're not living in a situation where the free market just determines the behavior of what happens and any longer. We're not. That's just not the reality. We don't live in that kind of situation anymore.
We must embrace the Great Reset, David. Own nothing. Homeowners are hate speech. We'll be back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Wednesday co-host, David Scorpio. And I don't know. Yeah, I think they just want to lower the living standards permanently in this nation. You know, a wartime economy post-COVID is the perfect way to acclimate people to the transition, David.
Yeah, well, a real war, a world war, would certainly distract from a lot of things, like a phony election, a permanently declining economy, and a skyrocketing cost of living. I think that's what's in the cards here. I don't think this particular conflict that's happening right now is going to be the trigger for it, but I think we're headed towards a staged, managed world war within the next couple of years. And I think that's their only way out. That's what the bankers have always done when their Ponzi scheme starts to fall apart. And it is. There's no rescuing the dollar or fixing it. I was just reading that America's been handing out $223 million a day to Ukraine, if you add up all the billions, because it's easy to forget that a billion is $1,000 million, we've given out $223 million a day since the beginning of the Ukrainian conflict.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I mean, all the money printing, COVID, the so-called infrastructure bill, which was largely a lot of anti-white sort of funding and what the makeover projects, if you will. We had, the Ukraine and now Israel focus for foreign aid. And, I mean, you know, I did see a couple other, to get back to war news for a second, I did see that some Syrian state media report claiming headquarters for the 5th Armored Division of the Syrian Army within the town of Izra was destroyed by Israeli airstrikes. So, I mean, you know, there are some isolated attacks Israel's currently conducting in some of these neighboring regions as the U.S. Brings in all their backup to look really formidable and foreboding. And Israel's outraged after Erdogan calls Hamas liberators and cancels his planned trip to mend ties. But, I don't really see how without eventually just having, as something as distracting as a staged world war to get us out of the economic, blowback from the public, basically. And so, you should clarify with some listeners occasionally, then some of us, you know, because they, you know, they see all these international superpowers, especially as being very aggressive to each other. Yeah, I mean, there could be a very engineered sort of a global war, and a lot of people will always be debating whether or not everything was on the level and all this sort of thing. Right, David?
Well, Israel bombs Syria every couple of months. It's amazing how they just get away with stuff like this. The big question is, could we actually get into a war that involved Russia and China, especially China? Because I'd say in about a week, the Walmart shelves would be empty if we got into some kind of a conflict with China over, let's say, Taiwan or something, in the South China Sea, that's none of our business. Could we actually have a war with China and still keep the Walmart shelves full? That would be the real question, because really we're completely dependent upon China for manufacturing almost everything Americans consume. So that's a problem. I don't know how logistically, if you could would it be sellable to have a war, but the shipments keep coming? We're still doing business even though we're at war. I don't know if they could sell that one and have it be believable. But they're selling all kinds of nonsense. So who knows? America is headed towards a wall one way or another, and they're going to have to gin up a big event here very soon. That much I'm certain of. There isn't much time before a very big event is cooked up and hoisted upon us, and it's going to be big, that shakes up the whole country. They have to do it, and it's got to happen either right before or right after the election. I don't think they have any choice.
Agreed. And I mean, rather than just, random legislation, many these days are convinced that, moving further toward a focus on commerce through central bank digital currencies with the credit score attached, that will be the big push. And, if there's a global economic collapse, there's solution for further digitized control. Even if it's something that's a phase out, it takes a half decade, a half century even, to phase out fiat cash.
That's another issue about the CBDC. I don't think that's going to happen for years. I think that's further down the pike. I don't think they can logistically do it. They're trying to get us used to the idea of it. But most money's already digital, so it's not like we're that's a huge shift. But I don't see them being able to remove cash. They need cash for their own nefarious purposes right now.
And there are so many alternatives, like all the different competing cryptos. I don't know. I hear a lot of them are based on Bitcoin. When you think there are other cryptos, a lot are very shaky and unstable, short-lived, but And then just, well, other investments, like just precious metal, physical investment or whatever. I mean, there are always going to be ways to get around whatever system they have. But yeah, just that would just link something more to a social credit score, perhaps, than would be the strong motive, you know, if a lot of people were going to be using that CBDC. So I don't know, anything else that you want to address with the state of the world right now, David?
Well, I think, as I said, I think America's going to hit a wall very soon. And we're really on a ticking time bomb kind of situation here in this country. And I wish I had a rosier picture to paint, but I don't. I think either right before or right after the election, something very big has to happen. And I think that's what's coming. And, I don't think we should be worried about what's happening around the world. America really should be focusing on all the problems we have here. And instead, our politicians are so-called leaders are, you know, flying around the world, cutting deals and getting prepared for the global government that really is already in place. They're just solidifying it and codifying it. They just haven't revealed it to the public yet, but I believe we essentially already have a global government behind the scenes. And COVID kind of proved that.
I do as well. I mean, Western Jewish internationalist power, you know, was consolidated after World War II, by and large. And so, I mean, there isn't really much more that needs to be done in that regard. I mean, a lot of people like to think of, things being less a global hierarchy than it is, because it just seems easier to overcome, you know, and they can be more hopeful that, a resistance will overpower sooner than later. I mean, I do think that, you know, the strongest enemy, you know, that these elite, well, economic elite types have are the American citizens who stand by, you know, however, you know, when you look at the historical legitimacy with the Constitution and Bill of Rights, nonetheless, I mean, who stand by their freedom of speech and their right to bear arms. And, you know, not just for defending from a prowler, but, you know, for, well, the, I mean, I don't know, they're tied together, freedom of speech and the right to bear arms. You know, I mean, Europe is a testament to that. One goes and the other goes with it, David.
Well, certainly so. We got people thrown in jail for disputing a historical event. There's only one historical event that you can dispute and get thrown in jail. That's the Holocaust. And you got to ask yourself, why is that? So, yeah, you're right. The two things are tied together. And
but a major gun grab, you think it would be far down the line, just like a CBDC?
I think a gun grab is going to be difficult logistically.
They can make
bullets very expensive and hard to come by, though. I think that's a much more practical way to handle it.
Well, I mean, I when you think of a lot of parts of so-called flyover country, it would be like a larger landmass version of Vietnam. You'd never get these people out of there, you know. We'd be dug in, patriots in this nation, that is, from the Rocky Mountains to the Appalachians.
Well, yeah, and they don't have the manpower to do a gun grab physically. They don't. They want us to think they do, but they don't. I mean, they'd have to unleash the army upon the United States citizens, and I don't think that's going to fly. So I just don't think those are practical scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I mean, some people are prepared for those extremes, and that's what they focus on, really, with their warnings in their content. So yeah, no, I want to get your reaction to them for sure. And we have a caller who, well, let's see what we hear from Rick in Arizona. Rick.
Good afternoon, gents. I just got three quick issues. They can't grab the guns, but they can grab the guns from the people they don't like if they get that red flag law. Israel, this thing called Israel having nuclear weapons, in my mind, is a total hoax. You need a lot of real estate to have nukes. You just can't have them laying around in a country the size of New Jersey. They haven't tested these things in 45, 50 years. And one of the rumors or one of the sales pitches that Israel has nukes came from Michael Rivero saying that Israel has nuclear submarines and they got the submarines from the Germans, the Dolphin class. Well, let me tell you something. I had a relative, that in-law, that was in super high government work, and they said that the Germans aren't allowed to build U-boats. Okay? So I don't think the Israelis have nuclear weapons. And this army that, you know, Israel brags about so much is in a state the size of New Jersey. They have no way they can, they can't fall back anywhere. You know, if they ever get encroached upon, they can be totally annihilated. And that's, you know, just take a look at, you know, Army War College tactics, West Point tactics. These people are the biggest sitting ducks, you know, that there ever was. I mean, so they're really, you know, they got a lot of chutzpah over there. They're really pushing the envelope. And so, you know, another thing I want to say before I hang up, gents, is I think Scorpio's right about this managed world war, but you can't do it with a Democrat. You're going to need Trump. All right? If you think you're going to whip up a world war with an idiot like Biden or another Democrat, the military and the white guys on the street are not going to go for it, and that's who you got to sell. You can do that with Donald Trump. And so let's just keep our eyes peeled on Donald Trump's problems, and I think they're going to be washed away as closer we get to the election. Scorpio's right. Before or after the election, there's going to be something big. But they're going to need Trump to do it. You can't do it with Biden. You can't do it with Bobby Kennedy. You can't do it with any other idiot. There's something coming up, and this is why I've always stuck to my guns. Trump's coming back. No matter what happens between now and then, he's going to get shooed in. Okay, gents, I'm hanging up. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you, Rick. Yeah, I can't see in a post-Trump era, you know, whether we're talking about after his death or no longer able to run for president for one reason or another. I can't see another strong Republican personality that could get such a populist, support behind. Like, I mean, I can't see a Rand Paul or a Ron DeSantis or, you know, anyone. I mean, you know, it would have to be someone yet to come someone who's groomed for such a straw man role, if anything, down the line. But how would you respond to all the great points? I always like Rick's commentary. David.
Oh, yeah. Rick made some really excellent points. It's possible he's right about Trump. I don't see how that happens. But in his scenario, all these charges disappear somehow. Which, you know, it's not beyond the realm of possibility. We do live in a world where anything could happen. I'll give him that. The way I read the tea leaves, though, I think the powers that be have decided Trump is out. And, you've got three of his former attorneys have already pled guilty in the Georgia case, which I believe is the weakest case of all of them. And so... Now there's talk that Mark Meadows is flipping on him. I think it's only a matter of time before someone flips on him and says, yeah, he did it, all of it. It's true. It's all true. Just don't send me to jail. But we'll see. Trump would be a great wartime president. There's no question about that. But one way they could gin up a war is if America is attacked somehow, pull some kind of a false flag where we have no choice. We have to go to war. It's not our fault. Who knows? But I just I don't see how he gets out of all these charges. There's so many of them. There's so many different venues. They're in very hostile areas, but anything's possible. Rick's a smart guy, and he's got a good base of knowledge here that he operates from. So it's certainly possible that Trump makes a comeback, but I just don't see how it happens.
Yeah, and as far as the people who are turning on him, that could make all the difference in making it more challenging. You make a good point there as well. I mean, this person responsible for the whole release the Kraken, Sidney Powell, for example.
Yeah, she's working with the prosecutors now. And I was always suspicious of this woman. She came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, she's everywhere on television. She got so much media coverage. She herself made the most outlandish claims. And I think she was there to make Trump look crazy. And sure enough, now she's turned on him and is actually working with the prosecutor in Atlanta. And again, I think this is the weakest case, other than maybe the one in New York is very weak too, but they're both very weak cases. And I'm surprised that these people have already are pleading guilty, because they're getting, basically, probation and no, they're not even losing their law licenses. Like, I forget the name of the last guy that just pled guilty. He's not even losing his law license, even though he pled guilty to a felony, and you're supposed to lose your law license if you're a felon.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I've heard the white hats are going to save the day. You know, the military's already in control, David, and Trump. I mean, this is all an act, you know? I mean, he's still president.
Yeah, Joe Biden's not really in the White House. It's a movie set he's operating from, and Trump's control the military. I mean, there was hosts on other networks. I don't know if I heard it on here. That we're claiming this for literally over a year, and it got to be a comedy act listening to some of these people. And then, of course, when none of it happened, they were in a very difficult situation, and some of them just disappeared for a while and then reappeared, and some of them just disappeared because they painted themselves into such a corner.
And the mysterious references to white hats. You always have to ask yourself, how kosher are these white hats these people are painting me a picture of?
Well, it's believable that there's people within the military and the army that are basically good people, but those aren't the people that get promoted to top positions. They're like the lower to mid-level people that just pull the knobs and turn the switches. They're not people that set policy or have any real power. And so the whole premise of it is fallacious, unfortunately. And you're not going to get up to an upper level position unless you've been vetted and they know that you're part of the team.
Got some breaking news just in. IDF veteran reveals shocking evidence that Hamas's attack on Israel was an inside job. So, he has a pretty strong statement out there. We have some body cam footage I've yet to review myself, and on there's quite a bit a statement on X. First of all, we will start with September 1st. The Israeli government confiscated the weapons of the security teams in the Gaza Belt communities. This was done against the will of those security teams. Why this happened, nobody knows. Fast forward to September 10th, the municipalities received reports. These are civilians. They received reports of increasing tensions on the Gaza border on Jewish holidays. They're spanned from Yom Kippur to Shemini Atzeret, which was on Saturday. These same heads of municipalities asked if they should cancel their festivals in light of the warnings of increased tension on the border with Gaza. The army said, no, don't cancel anything. It appears we are heading into a period of calm. Now you can assume that the Shin Bet Israeli security agency did not know about this attack, but that is highly improbable. The state of Israel is probably the most advanced surveillance state in the world. The Gaza border is probably the most heavily surveilled. The Shin Bet, who somehow knew about a guy who had corona in a toy store and tracked him all the way to a soccer stadium during the days of corona, somehow didn't know about this massive attack planned by thousands of Gazans on pickup trucks and hang gliders. Do you really believe that? Are you really that stupid? If you do, I have a bridge to sell you. Do you know how long it takes an attack helicopter to get activated and blow up any of those pickup trucks or hang gliders that invaded Israel? Less than 5 minutes. It could have been a matter of 5 minutes. Instead, they had hours to kill thousands and bring back hostages alive, unopposed. This is not a breach. This is an inside job. If it is not an inside job, well, then it is even worse, because it means that the IDF is the most incompetent military that ever walked the face of the earth, and now we are supposed to trust these people to invade Gaza under the command of a military that didn't see this coming, or B, was too incompetent to react to a bunch of pickup trucks invading Israel. Tell me which one's worse, inside job or was that incompetence? There's like one more paragraph. David?
Well, gee, this is sounding a lot like the 9/11 scenario, same methodology, Yeah, there's something really wrong with how this all went down. And I think Rick was, the caller Rick was saying on my show that, you know, when he saw those things flying around, he knew this whole thing was fake. And of course, this is a great point. The helicopters or jets could have been unleashed upon those things within a matter of minutes. It never happened. So, yeah, this whole thing is a hoax in one way or another.
Here with the last little bit. And, oh, by the way, now that America is coming with aid, do you really think Israel needs American aid to invade Gaza? Gaza? Their Air Force is hang gliders. Their ground troops are pickup trucks. They don't even have a tank. And Israel needs American aid to fight them? Are you serious? You don't think there's anything fishy going on here? Yeah, that was the end of his statement, David.
Yeah, well, they don't even have an army. There is no army. There's a ragtag group of guys that have some guns and some bullets and some sniper positions. That's really about it. And as far as these tunnels, we don't know how much of that's true. I'm sure there are some tunnels. But really, you're just going to send troops into a civilian area and start shooting civilians. It's going to look really bad. And I don't think it's going to happen on the scale that they're saying. And yeah, why do they need additional aid to fight someone that doesn't even have an army? I pointed that out on my show. There is no army. This isn't a war. It's absurd. This whole thing is a hoax.
Well, the idea of, you know, Lebanon backing with Hezbollah and Iran backing, and, you know, well, this is already justification for strikes on Syria. You know, what we did allegedly have from in the Golan Heights, something from Syria first. You know, who knows how many of these are false flags? There could be Mossad in all these countries making it seem like they do the first strikes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, okay, that was a good roundup. And looking forward to your show this Sunday, David. That's 5 p.m. Central, the Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC.
Yes.
Brilliant. All right, sir. Well, enjoy the rest of your week.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
And folks, please support Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate page. We could really use your help to get through these economic dire straits and keep truth alive so that we will speak again soon. Until then, transcend the construct. Regards.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.